Well, it's great to hear from an old rocker like Joe Cocker. With Respect Yourself, I'm host of Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, Sheldon Brown, and there's some great messages about respecting ourselves and others, and I think that's very important in our modern-day New Zealand. I'm here with technician Declan Curran. This is Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, and funded by and brought to you by Framework. And some listeners might have noticed that Take It From Us was off air for all of February, unexpectedly and without warning. So that's the first time in my 10 years, and I did say this in the first broadcast on my comeback of broadcasting, the 10 years of broadcasting, that's actually happened, that we've gone off air. And it did weigh heavily on me that our shows had stopped like a V8 supercar hitting the guardrail. I said, as I said in last week's broadcast, the first broadcast since my black dog returned unexpectedly and with real impact, that it's the uncertainty, the hopelessness and helplessness of depression which rocked my sanity. A great strategy to address depression is to be grateful for small things. Well, at first anyway, that are positive. For me, it was getting fed in hospital, having other patients to talk to, getting good mental health care, having a safe place to stay, and dare I say, having the right meds to take as well. Just recognising those things helped my sanity, coupled with persevering with mindfulness, even when it didn't seem to have any positive effect. My strategy reminded me of the happiness experiment, which essentially is a movement to recall three good things each day, your three GTSs. Tamara Waugh, who was challenged by her friend Kate Billing some years ago, started posting her three GTs in early February 2012. And within a month, was bombarded with Facebook friends following her lead and tagging her in their first day. It became apparent to her that there needed to be a platform for all to share their three good things. So just over a month later, the Happiness Experiment, Three Good Things page was born on Facebook. I guess that was, we've got Tamara in the studio, sort of somewhat unexpectedly. I'd sort of planned this show that we would just talk about it between Declan and I, but we've had the privilege of Tamara being in the studio. So was that a momentous day to launch this happiness experiment in New Zealand?
Yeah, absolutely. It was it was a wonderful experiment and a wonderful experience to do three good things. I actually, the first time I started doing it, I did it for nearly 3 years. So I think, to start the page was momentous because it meant that a lot of other people could be positively impacted by the practice.
Yeah. So you, had you been doing three good things 3 years before you launched this?
No, I'd only been doing it about 2 weeks. I was in a not-so-great space myself. And as you said, Kate challenged me to three good things and also 13 minutes of meditation every day.
Wow.
And I'd never meditated in my life, and I considered myself to be quite a upbeat, happy person, but it felt like that was an external thing at the time, and I wanted it to feel internal.
Right.
And so the practice of three good things started, and I posted it on Facebook to keep myself accountable because consistency was not one of my great attributes at the time. And that did really keep me accountable. People would kind of message me at night and say, "Hey, yo, where's your three good things? I'm kind of waiting for them."
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was making other people kind of happy and making them think about their own lives as well. That just started, a number of people started saying, "Oh, I'm going to do this too. I'm going to do this too. What a great approach to life." And then after probably the first couple of weeks, some people would come up to me and say, hey, I'm doing this with my family at home at the dinner table. And other people would say they've been doing it with their teams at work. And so I kind of felt like it was something that could be widespread, and it didn't have to kind of just be this thing for people that were in not such a great space. But
well, I did it at the dining table in the hospital the other day.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
And it, well, look, the first thing it achieved was that people started talking, because there wasn't a lot of talk going on around the dinner table, I guess because some people were really absorbed by their illnesses, not necessarily mental health illnesses.
Yeah.
But it did just start to encourage a little bit of thinking, and I think positive thinking.
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of what it does for families as well. You know, when you start talking about three good things that have happened in your day with your kids, it really brings about so much more conversation about what's going on for them, and you get a lot more of an insight, and you can start really seeing, you know, what is happening for them.
Yeah. So this friend of yours, Kate Billing, where did she get the idea of a happiness experiment?
She, I think, was inspired, no, I'm pretty sure she was inspired by Sean Aker, who did a TED Talk called Happiness at Work. In that TED Talk, he talks about three good things and the practice of writing down three good things.
Right.
Yeah. So she did it herself for a few months before I started as well.
Right.
Yeah.
And what sort of impact did both you and Kate experience?
For me, I can speak personally. Within a very short amount of time, it was probably about 2 weeks, I just realised my whole perspective on the world just changed. It was stepping out into the world a lot more positive, and I felt like every good thing that I was giving out was coming back to me threefold, and I started to really notice a lot more things going on around me. I started to notice a lot more about how other people were feeling. I started to notice a lot more about myself. I noticed my behaviour, my actions. It gave me a lot of insight into who I was and how I was behaving, and just noticing more good things throughout my day turned into an interactive mindfulness practice, which meant that I was actually feeling that joy in the moment.
Right.
And being more present.
Yeah.
Which is really joyous.
And it's which is really what joyous. Mindfulness is all about, isn't it? Being in the present.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've been trying to do that. Boy, have I been trying to do that over the last 6 to 8 weeks. And it's a real challenge. I've my little mantra has changed a little bit to just be present and be at peace.
Yeah.
So I've added the concept of peace as a belief that I guess I've taken on since being in hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a very short time, you had, thousands of followers?
Yeah, probably within the first year we had, I think it was like a good solid 2,500. We've got nearly 5 now, and that's global. So it did kind of ripple out further than just good old little New Zealand.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of personal research around mindfulness and neuroscience and psychology and positive psychology and meditation and what those benefits are, because I was seriously overwhelmed by how much of an impact it was having on me, and a consistent impact.
Right.
And still does today. You know, if I'm kind of heading in a space where my head's a little bit overwhelmed, or I'm feeling like I'm not feeling good, and I can start to see my words to other people aren't aligned with my values, then I jump back to three good things or a gratitude practice to help me kind of shift back into that space.
I mean, you indicated earlier in the interview that you had gone through a bit of a bad stage yourself. I don't know whether you want to elaborate on that or prefer just to say that it was a bad space and your friend was helping you.
I won't go into it too much, but I would say that I had struggled for a very long time probably since I was a child, actually. And I had been on medication for quite a long time as well, and I felt that that wasn't working for me. And I really wanted to try other avenues to be able to support myself and to also give me the opportunity to really feel my way with raising my daughter and really experiencing those rich joys and those rich sadness parts as well, and not fall off the boat, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So has it had an influence in your style of being a mother and a parent?
Oh, yes, definitely. I recently did an interview for a podcast with a child psychologist in the UK, and that was, I think she called it intuitive parenting, and I thought that was a really great name for how I parent. I have a very close relationship with Millie, I mean, she's been doing this gratitude practice, or she started doing it at 3. You know, there's been moments where we haven't, and she's started meditating at 5 every night, and that's been a really big part of our journey together, and for her growing compassion for people and things in the universe as well.
So that's one of the wonderful rich outcomes, I suppose, is being compassionate for others, caring for others. And these are all really linked, aren't they, to being mindful, being in the present, I guess being more peaceful and calmer and that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think the big thing about mindfulness for me is that observing and not judging thoughts part of it. That's the big part that was, I hear you when you say it's been hard to do the mindfulness and to work out how it actually works. And at the start, it is really hard and it is really struggle bubble stuff. But, yeah, keep practicing. It becomes really, really insightful and really beneficial.
It's just that staying in the present tomorrow. That's the big challenge, you know. And I think when the depression distorts one's thinking, you naturally sort of go to the negative thought, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I played bridge for the first time in about, this year, in fact, so it's almost 2.5 months. Played last night, and it was a big deal to go and join this group of maybe 20 people, trust that I had still remembered all the different theories about bridge and how to play the game. My hands were shaking quite noticeably from the medication, which one or two people noticed. I did it, and I did it, I think, by sort of staying in the present before going there and not thinking too much about some of the negative things that could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it, and it's practicing that in every moment that you're in.
Right. Yeah, well, let's take a music break. We've got Declan with us as our technician, and while I was in hospital, I heard the news that a very good mental health friend of mine, Shona Clark, had tragically died. And we're playing this track. It's
the first time ever I saw your face, Roberta Flack.
Yes, because I saw on Facebook the sort of agenda for the commemoration of Shona's life. We worked together very closely on the Like Minds, Like Mine program, and she was very, very supportive of Take It From Us.
All right, so here she comes. Maybe she's not coming after all. No, hang on, we'll have to abort on that for the moment. I'll send you back to the interview.
Yeah, sorry, we just had a little bit of a technical hitch there. Declan will just sort out whether he can access that track.
There it is. We could sing it.
Yeah, I think I've got it.
You've got it coming up now.
Oh, I got
it. This is the commemoration of Shona Clark's life, who was working for Te Pau at the time, but had worked for many years with the Mental Health Foundation and Like Minds.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And I'm Sheldon Brown on Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us. And that track was in commemoration of Shona Clark's life and her contribution to mental health at the Mental Health Foundation and through Like Minds and through Te Pau as well. So today we're talking to Tamara Waugh, who is the founder and leader, if you like, of this happiness experiment, this idea of identifying three good things. And Tamara was talking about how her daughter has adopted this, even at the age of 3 and 5. And what age is she now?
She's 9 now.
She's 9 now. Mm-hmm. She's still practicing 3 GTs.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. We do it around the dinner table, or we do it just before meditation at bedtime.
Right, so you do a sort of a combined meditation at bedtime?
Yeah, we do the app Buddhify is the one that we use mostly, and that is all mindfulness meditation, so it's all about kind of fading out your senses, or there's a one that's about thanks, and the gratitude one, of course, is about kind of thinking about what you had for breakfast and how that might have got to you through, you know, the grains being...
Of benefit?
Yeah.
Of benefit to your energy levels and that sort of thing?
Yeah, but also how that breakfast was packaged by people and how it might have been flown over here and how the chickens laid the eggs and et cetera, et cetera. So it's about being grateful for receiving it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's a bigger story to that one thing. I mean, you might say, well, I was grateful for my poached eggs this morning, but you've got the backstory in that you're bringing in the idea of the chickens. And is this just for your daughter, or do you do that yourself?
I guess when you get good at gratitude, you get good at gratitude.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's that is one of the apps that we use, and that's called Thanks. And it's in that app that it talks about the gratitude and going back, you know, to one step further for that gratitude. So, I mean, I guess when you're talking about gratitude, it's good to kind of reflect on more than just the selfishness of that, what you're receiving. So somebody gave me this today and that was good. Well, it's actually good to reflect a little bit further and to, you know, that person and why they gave you that gift or where that gift might have come from.
And what you might have done for them in order to have received that gift.
Yeah.
Well, tell us sort of how do we do this thing of three good things.
Yeah, sure. So in the evening, preferably, take a minute to reflect back on your day. Looking at all the things is great. And then find three good things out of that have happened and write them down. And I would say it would be really great to reflect on something that's external, something that's internal, and something about somebody else that you really appreciate. And you're covering all bases.
Yeah, that thing that's internal, might that be, what would that be if it was an internal?
Oh, well, I can give you an example, actually. The other day, Millie said to me before she went to sleep, she said, "Mum, can I tell you something I'm really proud of today?" And that thing was that she participated in every classroom conversation. She put her hand up for every question, and she said that she might not have really known what the answer was for sure, and sometimes she didn't get picked, but she really enjoyed it. So that is an internal thing where you're actually putting yourself forward to participate in life. So things like that, that you're really proud of yourself for achieving, or something that you noticed in yourself that you did that, you know.
Well, I mean, really, that's quite courageous to do that, isn't it, in a class of probably 30 or 40 children?
Yeah, I reckon.
I mean, you're participating, you're getting involved. It's all about if you're sitting back there, you're not really engaged.
Mm,
yeah. And it's so important for us to be engaged in things, isn't it? But it does take courage to do that.
It does, and that's something that she has struggled with. She's been such a shy, wee girl, and we've done all sorts of things to kind of... bring out her confidence or make her feel more confident. So that was a real achievement for her to actually look back on her day and go, hey, guess what, Mum? I participated in everything today. I put my hand up. Yeah. I put myself out there. So,
well, imagine the pride that she is feeling in telling Mum about that. Yeah. I mean, I can see there's so much benefit coming from that. But that word courage has got quite a significance for me, without going back to my experience too much. But the psychologist at the hospital gave me a whole lot of little cards with values on them, like self-esteem and self-determination. And but one of them was courage.
Yeah.
And I hadn't returned to work at that point. I think it was probably a Friday. And I hadn't really given any thought to returning to work. And I just put that little sticker with courage on it at the top of the pile of all those values. And I looked at it quite often. And I thought, well, you know, Sheldon, you need to have the courage to leave hospital and to go back to work and do the radio show the next day. And I think, you know,
it's a big thing.
Well, it was a big thing, but that, I guess, that value, you know, and coming back to your three good things, I mean, if we have one of those things is something courageous that we've done.
Yeah.
Then it's really...
That could be cool.
Yeah, it can be cool, I think.
Well, there's so many different things that you can do with three good things. You can make themes for three good things. You can you say, this week my three good things are going to be about courage and what I did. You could say that one of the three good things is going to be about courage. You can do so many different things with it. It's really fun.
Is it important to write them down?
I think so. There's a number of different ways that you can do it. I developed an app and I launched an app last year. So that would be, I would say, texting it.
Right.
And you know, then there's that element of courage to share it, which a lot of people don't want to do, which is perfectly acceptable because it is quite a personal thing. Mm-hmm. But I think there's something about writing things down. It's something about, it's quite cathartic to come from the mind and then onto a piece of paper.
I think I find for me, just putting something down onto paper empties that out of my head so that you can focus on other things.
Almost like giving it to the piece of paper.
Yeah, and also then you're not going to forget to do it later, because otherwise I think, what the heck was that I came down this end of the house for and wanted to do?
You don't want to go and see a specialist for dementia?
Well, I wonder whether I should sometimes.
I mean, the app is really about targeting youth and trying to get into a space where they already are. And so the idea of developing an app for kids to write down their three good things was really about trying to pull all the pieces of the puzzle together that they use every day. So the Instagram, so there's a photo aspect to it, and you pull, you know, two to four photos from your photo library, and then you overlay three good things on top of that. And then I've also had a friend produce some tracks, and those tracks are labelled with empowerment or joy, or, you know, these words that will be able to bring their three good things towards a certain theme or emotion and help them kind of align those things together.
So how can we access that app?
It's on Apple at the moment. It's just on the Apple. It's native to Apple, so I don't have it for Android.
Okay.
But so I'm working on it.
You've got to have an Apple phone or iPad or whatever.
You can't have a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Can't have a BlackBerry.
Sorry about that.
But some of the, I've, as a result of being a member of the Happiness Experiment Facebook page, I mean, it's fascinating some of the wonderful things that people are grateful for, you know. And I've got one here, just smelling the Queen of the Night on my balcony after a stressful end to my evening. another who says, it's funny how individualised tea is. I like mine with the water poured slowly right on the tea bag instead of being left in as long. I think you can get stronger tea without it being quite so tanniny.
Oh, can I jump in there when you're ready?
Yeah.
I'm a connoisseur of tea, absolutely love it, and I always say to people, put your milk in last, because I think the milk tends to, like, coat the tea bag. And
yeah.
So when you're trying to get the flavour out, you're stirring going, come on, you brute.
Yeah.
And so I get my strongness roughly with, you know, beforehand and then put the milk in. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
I can see that, definitely.
So you're grateful for the way you make the tea and the taste of it?
If anybody, I go anywhere and they start to put the milk in first in my head, I'm going, no.
You shouldn't be in your head. You should say, don't put the milk in, because I've got a theory and the milk coats the...
I mean, you just about need to jump in squashing like grapes, you know, to get anything out of it. There's, you know, yeah.
I didn't know you were so serious about your tea.
Oh, no,
tea,
gosh. Oh, God. No, you're supposed to let it even sit and draw for 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah,
I've given
it
crayons,
minutes.
But I'm still waiting for it to draw, so.
After being in hospital, I can tell you I've drunk some pretty horrific
tea.
Tea.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, too, tomorrow. But there's another one here saying, I'm grateful for the taste of cheese, especially blue. Oh, and camembert. Mm. Oh, and vintage Leyden. So, you know, these are wonderful. As one, the food I'm grateful for today is cake. It melts in my mouth, stirs up some grateful moans of delight and brings people together to celebrate all sorts of achievements and worthy causes.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's lovely, isn't it?
Do you know what I do when I go to bed at night? Just, you know, final preparation is, particularly in summer, I like to just spray a bit of fragrance on like I'm going out, and it just freshens you up.
Yeah.
And then I sort of... off to bed, and I feel like I'm refreshed again.
Oh, brilliant.
You know? Yeah.
$1 million before bed.
Well, yeah, it makes
sounds good.
Yeah, and it makes you feel good, and it brings your mood up and that sort of thing.
And
you
then
off
that
to bed.
Will make you sleep better.
Yeah.
The one here where somebody says that she's very grateful that hubby has handed us the holiday money. So that was rather nice.
That's
and
a good one.
Yeah, and another one, grateful for my friend who's currently in ICU recovering from major heart surgery.
Yeah.
I love her so much. Special soul. And there was there's others that are very grateful for their bed. If I'm not sleeping, things can get dark. So having a good night's rest is so important for me to get through the day with enthusiasm, love and light.
Oh, yes.
Can I chuck something else in there that I found really handy is Warehouse Stationery's got a product out and it's called Ignite.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a little spiral boundy thing with 52 different little pictures and sayings on it. And you're supposed to turn it over, you know, each week. I just flick it over randomly and put it by my diary. And it might be something like, you know, dare to be different or, you know, something like that.
Positive affirmation.
And it's got a little, and just little things to keep you on track, you know. You start to feel it down.
So these three good things, do you regard them as positive affirmations?
Not really, no. I think they're different to positive affirmations. I think it's more about being really grateful for the things that you have in your life. Positive affirmations, to me personally, are things I aspire to or I'm inspired by.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, of course I can be inspired by things that are in my life, and I am constantly. But I think, three good things is more about noticing what you have around you that you wouldn't necessarily notice otherwise, and being grateful for those things,
those
moments.
So noticing those moments or those three good things and reflecting on them, that's a critical part of three good things, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And as I said before, it becomes an interactive mindfulness practice, you know, as you go. I mean, we encourage people to do it for 100 days. And 100 days is a pretty long time. That's 3 months. So you can kind of see people on their journey as they go through it, and sort of after maybe 3 to 4 weeks, they're starting to really wake up in the morning and step out, thinking, what are my three good things? And they're looking for the good things in their day.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and that's really, really positive. Right. You know, you imagine the influence that has on each person that you speak to and each, you know, sort of activity that you approach. If you're thinking positively about something and thinking that you've got to have three good things at the end of the day, it means that everything that you approach is going to be, is going to have a positive energy around it. And it also means that in that moment when something great is happening, like for me right now, this is really enjoyable. And it's so cool to have this head thing on and the microphone in my face. Like, I don't do that all the time. It's really cool.
The only thing missing is the cup of tea.
Yeah,
right.
The cup of tea.
We
yeah.
can do that at the end of the show if you've got the time.
Mm.
And we'll make sure that we put the milk in last, especially for
don't
Declan.
Don't coat the tea bag.
Don't dare do that.
Well, let's have another music break and get off the subject of tea.
Yes, indeed. Well, I actually was stumbling around last night and found another track called Shine. There's that many of the things. And it's sung by Dimitri Vangelis and Wyman, whoever the heck they are. But I thought it was quite good, so I thought I'd bring it in and share it with you.
Awesome.
Well, we're just, again, having a little technical difficulty in accessing that music on the iPad. So Declan is just doing it. So, you know, when you write...
Oh.
There you go. Oh. I'm going to have words with this when I get home. Here we go.
Nice words.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And that was a track called Shine on Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us. And there was a line there which says, the light when the sun goes down. And I was just saying to Tamara in the break that, well, the three good things could easily be the light that you could access when the sun goes down.
That's right.
Is that a pretty good sort of a thought?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I noticed, actually, that the first comment on the Facebook page I saw when I opened it up earlier this week was a comment from somebody who said, what a brilliant approach to life and our communities. And really, Tamara, you're taking this out. Well, it has an influence at changing minds, which, of course, is the mental health consumer organisation Changing Minds, which is doing some great work and still working with Like Minds and other organisations. How's it been an influence there?
Well, I think Changing Minds is a super special organisation led by a super special leader, Tammy Allen.
Tammy must be listening, obviously.
She might be. She's pretty busy at the moment. We do in our meetings. We do three good things, and we look for those positives. So that keeps it consistent there. But one thing I would say about being present at Changing Minds, with regards to who we are as an organisation, we are an organisation run by people that have, if not still do, experience mental distress. And being very aware of that is a big part of being a team member there. And there are times when self-awareness is a must. And that's a lot of the time, because we kind of represent the voice of mental health consumers, and so there is a mirror every day that is held up to us. But I think one of the wonderful things about Changing Minds is that whatever state you're in, you are welcome and expected to come to work. You don't have to work, but you are welcome there. And I remember last year when I kind of fell over, as you might put it, I was getting hassled by Tammy. Oh, coming out to work. And I was like, look, I just can't get out of bed. It's just not going to happen. I just need to be here today in my bed and not, I just don't need anybody. I just want to be here. Leave me alone, basically. And she said, okay, I don't expect you to come into work. You don't have to come into work, but I just want you to hear me out here. And she said to me, there is a place here that has a really nice old velvet couch, just like your grandmother's would have been, and a fireplace, and lots of tea and coffee, and you don't have to work here, but this place is here for you, and there are people here that will make you cups of tea and coffee, and you can just come in and have a sleep on the couch for the day. And I'm just putting it out there that that's a place for you. Mm-hmm. And that is what the golden nugget of Change Your Minds is that when I'm not 100%, I will get myself out of bed and I'll go there, because that sounds way more inviting, right, than staying in my bed and not having anybody or anything. And when I am 100%, I will give 150.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, that's just loyalty. That's how it makes you feel working there, is that we're a really high-functioning team. We're really high achievers. But we're also very much accepting of each other, and that's kind of what aroha is, right? Accepting all of the person.
Well, it sounds like a lot of compassion You know, there's a lot of compassion there. And I have to say thank you to Framework Senior Management for the compassion that they've shown, and a special message that if I didn't feel that I could carry on the day, that it was okay to finish then and come back the next day. And that certainly takes the heat off. But I think it also encourages loyalty and a desire to get the job done. And
it makes you remember how important that your job is. You know, I mean, I work in mental health and I experience mental distress. So, you know, those moments that you are down or are off the playing field gives you a moment when you step back to go, shit, this is why I do this.
I think too, what I was just going to say, that, you know, it's important for you when you're getting yourself up and running again after being down, you need to know that the people around you aren't going to be putting undue pressure on you.
Absolutely.
Because that's just going to hold you back.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely.
Yeah, well, we've got another track that we can play because I've had I've had a senior moment. I was going to ask something, but it's completely gone out of my head.
You can blame me on that. I'll just use that word tea, you know.
Yeah, right.
Now, hopefully this is going to behave itself. St Elmo's Fire. Have you ever heard of the movie? Seen it?
No.
John Parr. Very good little movie. Actually, St Elmo's Fire is all about the electric interaction in the air. Apparently pilots see it all the time. I wonder whether or not they need to go and see you. But anyway, here we go. St Elmo's Fire. Let's hope it plays this time.
That's interesting.
It better do. Otherwise, I'm going to scream loudly and strongly.
We're having a little technical difficulty, but we've got some more examples here of people's three good things or one good thing, and there's a lovely one here. The pride in my mom's eyes when I graduated my degree is a moment I'll always cherish.
Mom, that must have been an American.
Mom, yeah. My latest challenge is the hardest I've had to face yet. I'm grateful for the chance to get out of a stagnant, toxic place. I'm finding my mojo and learning to love, laugh and learn. Well, what an absolute bonus that is.
I've got this puppy working again now.
Okay, we've got the music coming up.
I'm going to have strong words with it later. All right, here's John Parr from St Elmo's Fire.
Moving straight ahead.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And I'm host Sheldon Brown with Declan Caron and our guest Tamara Warren. There's just one other little good thing that I've just seen here. I'm grateful for my electric toothbrush. Well, a little bit of, you know, the innovation which people are obviously very grateful for. But I've got a little thing that Declan sent us here called Embracing Unpredictability, which I think is very relevant to adopting, taking on three good things. It says, when life throws you a curveball, the ability to accept what is happening and let go of our original expectations is key when dealing with these unexpected turns of fate. We have a tendency to get stuck in our heads, clinging to an idea of how we can have a hard time accepting anything that does not comply with that idea. The fact is that life is unpredictable. The trip you thought was for business and got depressed about when the deal fell through actually landed you at the airport 2 days earlier than planned, so you could meet the love of your life. Your car breaks down and you are late for an appointment. While it is true that you never arrive at that important meeting, you end up spending a few relaxing hours with people you would never have met otherwise. Remember that only are curveballs the universe's way of keeping us awake, which is a gift in itself. But they are also its method of bringing us wonderful surprises. Next time one comes your way, take a deep breath, say thank you, and open your mind to a new opportunity. Well, I think we're talking to Tamara Waugh about three good things, the happiness experiment. You know, this is an opportunity to open your mind to a new opportunity. Is that fair comment, Tamara?
Yeah, that's definitely a fair comment.
So there's an opportunity for us by adopting the happiness experiment and getting involved and joining the Facebook page, really to be more positive in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you were talking about life will always be unpredictable, it is, and that's one of the things that you know has been something that I've been thinking about when trying to target this or develop programs for youth, is that we can't teach them resilience. Resilience is born of experience, right? Just as compassion is born of experience, but we can give them the tools so that when they reach those challenges or come across adversity, they can reach in that tool belt and go, hey, why don't I try this on it?
Right. So are you having a focus of targeting youth with the idea of the happiness experiment?
I am, yeah. It's always been something that's been kind of top of mind and quite a personal mission. I think I look back and think about my youth and my teenage days and I always come to the conclusion that if I had had some tools, I probably would have done a little bit better. And I would have carried those tools into my early 20s. And again, I would have done probably a little bit better than I did.
Well, was anxiety something that you experienced from a young age?
Yes. Anxiety, depression, drug addiction. Okay. Give you quite a few labels, but let's not play that game.
No, okay, all right. But if you'd had something like a toolbox, or even just the simple concept of acknowledging three good things and writing them down, do you think that might have helped the direction your life took?
I do, and just from studying the neuroscience aspect of it, the studies being that it changes neural pathways in your brain, and also acknowledging that you don't fully develop your prefrontal cortex until your early to mid-20s. I mean, there's not really a huge amount that we can assume that young adults will be able to get to that logic place and snap out of that kind of overwhelmed state, because they actually don't have the biology to be able to accomplish it. So not only do they need support, but if they had the ability to be able to get switch from amygdala, which is our emotion mind, to the prefrontal cortex, which is our logic mind, quicker, then we might see some results that are a bit more positive. Yeah.
So you're saying that adopting three good things will take us from our emotional...
Well,
is that what you're saying?
Three good things. Focus? If three good things is done consistently, it works like this. You know, when we're young and we get taught to put our underwear on or our knickers on, and every day we pull up our knickers. And when we're really little, we don't really know how to do that. It's a real struggle. We fall over. We put our leg in the wrong hole. It looks a right mess, doesn't it, for a few years.
Wait till you get to my age. You've got to sit down and put them on.
Yeah, well, it goes backwards as well. But so what the consistency of three good things does is redirects those neural pathways. It becomes a habit, basically. So you're always thinking from a solutions-based attitude about things.
Oh, well, we better leave it there. That's a very positive ending for Take It From Us. And thank you very much for Tamara for coming into the studio and explaining the happiness experiment. I'd suggest to all of you that you check out the Facebook page just by typing in happiness experiment.
Thank you.
Do you want to promote a few more things?
You've got 20 seconds. I've got 20 seconds.
You've got
to
about,
promote.
Well, you've got 15 now.
A couple of things. Well, I think we'll just probably go straight to our music, Declan.
Can I say one last thing?
Yes, go certainly.
I thank you very much for giving me a call, Sheldon, and inviting me in here today. I'm so pleased that the happiness experiment and that a gratitude practice has had such a good impact on you and your well-being. So big hugs.
Yeah, okay, well,
and
you gave
five.
Me a lovely hug when you came in, so that was a real bonus for coming to work today.
Most welcome, most welcome. We'll see you all next week.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tamara. Everybody's at